Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we dive into China in 10 Words, a thought-provoking exploration by Yu Hua into the heart of modern China, through the lens of 10 pivotal words that are crucial to understanding the nation's past, present, and its potential future. This book crafts a narrative of a country that, on the surface, appears to have transformed radically from its revolutionary origins. Yet underneath, it retains a profound connection to its historical roots. Yu Hua, an esteemed Chinese author, brings his extensive experience and insight into this analysis. With a literary career that spans across 4 novels, 6 collections of short stories, and 3 volumes of essays, Yu Hua's voice is one of the most respected in China and beyond. His works have reached a global audience, having been translated into over 20 different languages. Notably, Yu Hua was honored with the James Joyce Award in 2002, becoming the first Chinese citizen to receive this prestigious accolade for his contributions to literature. China in 10 Words is an essential read for students and scholars of the history of Communist China, providing a unique perspective on the country's developmental journey. Linguists and cultural enthusiasts will find the exploration of how language shapes and reflects societal values and concepts particularly fascinating. Additionally, anyone intrigued by the so-called Chinese miracle and the complexities of modern Chinese society will find Yu Hua's insights invaluable. Tune in to uncover the layers of meaning behind 10 words that offer a window into the soul of China, as we unravel the narrative threads that tie its revolutionary past to its dynamic present and uncertain future. China. In 10 words, the 10 key concepts underlying China's transformation. Introduction. Discovering China through its 10 core words. Embarking on a journey to understand a culture deeply rooted in tradition and history, where language plays a pivotal role in shaping the society's zeitgeist, can be a fascinating endeavor. The complexities of a language often reflect the nuances of the culture it represents. This is particularly true for China, a land of profound transformations and rich historical layers. Through the lens of 10 pivotal Chinese words, we unravel the essence of China's metamorphosis, from the fervent waves of Mao's Cultural Revolution to the echoing cries at Tiananmen Square and onto the towering skyscrapers symbolizing today's economic surge. At the heart of this exploration is the author Yu Hua, who delves into the multifaceted meanings and historical significance behind each chosen word. Words like Renmin, translated plainly as the people, and Yuedu, denoting reading, carry with them the weight of China's shared experiences beyond their simple English equivalents. It's in the intricate weave of their cultural and historical context that their true essence emerges, offering a richer understanding of China's soul. Intricately bound to the nation's collective memory, these words shed light on the cultural psyche and societal shifts that have shaped China. They tell stories of resilience, ingenuity, and ambition, revealing how language has been both a witness to and an actor in China's unfolding drama. Among the revelations is a longing, shared by many Chinese, for the era of Mao to return, an epoch that, despite its turmoil, represents a period of ideological purity and revolutionary fervor for some. Yu Hua shares personal anecdotes, such as how he honed his writing skills amidst a backdrop of revolutionary propaganda, displaying the deeply personal intersection of history, language, and individual growth. Not shying away from controversy, the discussion also touches upon the pervasive issue of counterfeit goods, a phenomenon that undeniably echoes China's fast-paced economic and industrial expansion. It's a testament to the nation's complex relationship with authenticity, innovation, and the global market. As we sift through these 10 defining words, we're not merely learning a language. We're piecing together a vibrant tapestry of a nation. Each word, rich in history and emotion, offers a unique vantage point into the heart of China. Through Yu Hua's insightful analysis, we come to appreciate the intricate dance between language and culture, how they mold each other, and in turn, shape the destiny of a civilization. In this riveting narrative, the listener is invited to journey beyond the surface, to understand not just the translations, but the stories, the sentiments, and the soul of China. This is more than an exploration of language. It's a deep dive into the heart of a nation in flux, constantly redefining itself amidst the tides of history. Part 1. The Evolution of the People in China's Socio-Political Landscape. The People. A phrase resonating with promises of unity and collective strength. For Yu Hua, growing up during the fervent era of China's 1960s, this wasn't just a term. It was an embodiment of the nation's core identity. Interestingly, before mastering the strokes to pen his own name, Yu was taught to inscribe Renmin, the Mandarin term that encapsulates this powerful concept. This notion gained unprecedented momentum with the onset of the Cultural Revolution in 1966, an epoch defined by its intense social, political, and cultural upheavals. Spearheading this seismic shift was Mao Zedong, with a vision to fortify the Communist Party's reign and eradicate the remnants of a pre-communist era. The people emerged as the cornerstone of this vision, championing the collective over the individual and asserting a pretense of egalitarianism despite Mao's unchecked authority, echoed in the slogan, "Chairman Mao is the people, and the people are Chairman Mao." For decades, the concept of the people threaded through the fabric of Chinese discourse, retaining its prominence and shaping the society's narrative. However, the winds of change began to stir with the Tiananmen Square protests of 1989. The demise of Hu Yaobang, a reformist figure within the Communist Party, ignited a fervor among students for democratic reforms and an end to systemic corruption. Beijing's heart, Tiananmen Square, transformed into a nucleus of collective aspiration, dissolving societal divisions in favor of a united front, a city momentarily shed of its usual order, alive with the hope of change. Yet this monumental moment was transient. The military's intervention in June abruptly dismantled the protests, silencing the voices of change with force and leaving the nation in a hush of aftermath. The event, once dominating state broadcasts in a hunt for student leaders, vanished from public discourse as suddenly as it had seized it. Post-1989 marked a tectonic shift in the narrative of the people. No longer a monolith, Chinese society found itself fragmented into myriad identities, from migrants to stockholders to celebrity aficionados. The once omnipresent term that unified a diverse populace under a banner of shared identity and purpose faded into the background, replaced by labels that sliced the social fabric into ever finer divisions. In this era of transformation and redefinition, the people reflects not just the evolution of a term, but the changing contours of a society navigating its path between tradition and modernity, collective identity, and individual aspirations. Through this lens, we grasp a narrative of dynamism, resilience, and an unending quest for defining what it means to belong, to be part of the people in the vast shifting landscape of China. Part 2. The Transformation of Leadership from Mao to Modernity. In the midsummer of July 1966, amidst the pulsating backdrop of Wuhan's bustling city life, an event would unfold that encapsulated the essence of a leader in the eyes of the Chinese populace. The person at the heart of this spectacle was none other than Mao Zedong, a towering figure whose imprint on China's tapestry is indelible. At 72 years of age, Mao executed an astonishing feat, plunging into the chilling currents of the Yangtze River to partake in a mass swimming event. Clad merely in swim trunks, his subsequent photo did not just show a man defying his age, but symbolized the vitality and closeness to the people that defined the Chinese archetype of a leader, or Lingxiu. Mao's personification of Lingxiu went beyond physical demonstrations of vigor. It was deeply entrenched in actions that spoke directly to the masses. Consider the phenomenon of big character posters, which were essentially large, visually compelling political statements plastered across public spaces during the Cultural Revolution. Mao aligned himself with the public sentiment by crafting his critiques of state officials in this same format, thereby illustrating his solidarity with the people against the bureaucratic elite. The narrative of leadership began to unravel with Mao's passing in 1976, signaling a drift from the gravitas of individual charisma toward a collective governance model. The singular, charismatic presence of Mao, once the sole figure waving back from newsreels, gave way to a synchronized display by senior members of the Communist Party, reflecting a paradigm shift towards a committee-led governance. In today's lexicon, the term Lingxiu has shed its connotation of national leadership, broadening to encompass leaders in more localized or specialized domains, such as youth group leaders and industry pioneers. The sanctity, once attributed to the concept of Lingxiu in the epoch of Mao, has thus diluted, mirroring China's transition from a persona-driven narrative to a more dispersed leadership framework. Nevertheless, the yearning for a resolute figure akin to Mao remains palpable among the Chinese populace. A spoof article in 2009, humorously claiming the cloning of Mao with intent to purge corruption, resonated with a significant portion of the public. This sentiment is further evidenced by recent surveys indicating an overwhelming majority, 85% of the public nostalgically asserting that Mao's return would herald positive change. This longing for a Lingxiu of Mao's caliber encapsulates a complex blend of nostalgia, respect for authoritative leadership, and perhaps a critique of the impersonal nature of contemporary governance. It illuminates the enduring relevance of the leadership archetype within the cultural and political consciousness of the nation, forging a bridge between the past's charismatic leadership and the contemporary quest for governance that resonates with the masses. Part 3, Turning the Page, The Evolution of Reading in China. Diving into the depths of China's budding reading culture during the tumultuous times of the Cultural Revolution paints a vivid picture of a nation's enduring love for literature amidst scarcity. The journey of Yuedu, reading, through this era unfolds in four chapters, each marking a distinct phase in the relationship between the Chinese people and the written word. In the earliest days, a tangible hunger for knowledge faced the stark reality of scarcity. The regime's disdain for dissent meant that any text deviating from the Communist Party's ideology was labeled a poisonous weed and met the fate of fire. Amidst this literary desert, just two oases remained: the selected works of Chairman Mao and the iconic Little Red Book of Quotations. Despite their doctrinal dryness, curious minds like you found solace within their pages, scouring footnotes for snippets of stories, a testament to the unquenchable thirst for knowledge. The scarcity of books bred ingenuity among students. Clandestinely, worn copies of forbidden literature circulated, offering fleeting glimpses into worlds beyond. Yu recalls the thrill of encountering Alexandre Dumas's La Dame aux Camélias, a treasure to be feverishly copied by hand in a race against time. Yet, the joy of these literary contraband was often marred by the illegibility of hurried handwritings, a poignant reminder of the barriers to access. The fervor for stories found an unlikely outlet in the big character posters plastered across cities. Designed for political critique, these posters unwittingly became the canvas for a vivid imagination, transforming into riveting tales of scandal and intrigue in Yu's mind. This unconventional reading material served as a bridge to his next discovery, the anatomical wonders hidden within his parents' medical books, a leap from the political to the personal realms of knowledge. The curtain call of the Cultural Revolution brought with it a breath of fresh air. In 1977, as bookstores tentatively unfurled their banners once more, the pent-up demand for literature erupted. A memory etched in Yu's mind is of a local bookstore rationing its first meager shipment of books, igniting a frenzy that had people queuing overnight. Despite the meager allotment of 50 book tokens, this moment marked the dawn of a new chapter in China's reading culture, As the barricades crumbled and the streams of literature began to flow more freely, the landscape of reading in China transformed. From the scarcity that made any text a treasure, to the burgeoning availability that finally allowed Yu's passion for reading to flourish, the saga of Yue Du is a testament to the resilience of the human spirit's quest for knowledge. In tracing this journey, we witness the metamorphosis of a culture, finding its voice again in the pages of reopened books. Part 4. The Pen as a Sword. Yu Hua's Journey Through Writing in Revolutionary China. In the thick of China's cultural revolution, the act of writing, xiezuo, transformed from a mere form of expression to a potent tool of resilience and revelation. It was during this tumultuous epoch that Yu Hua found both his voice and his identity through the strokes of his pen. His initiation into the world of writing is a tale of defiance, reflection, and ultimately, self-discovery. The spark that ignited Yu's passion for writing was reminiscent of the story of Huang Shuai, a schoolgirl who dared to voice her dissent through a letter that resonated with the revolutionary spirit of the times. Inspired by such acts of boldness, Yu, too, dipped his quill into the fervor of the revolution, becoming a red pen, an author in alignment with the political fervor that engulfed the nation. Adopting the pseudonym Spring Shoots, Yu and his comrades ventured into the art of crafting big character posters, a popular medium for political expression, targeting the faculty of their school. This endeavor marked Yu's initial foray into the literary world as a participant in shaping the discourse of the revolution. However, his creative aspirations soon outgrew the confines of poster writing, leading him to dramatize the struggles and triumphs of socialist reconstruction in a play. Yu's journey did not halt at the doorstep of academia. He ventured into the realm of dentistry, yet his heart yearned for the freedom and introspection offered by a writer's life. The egalitarian pay structure of the time meant that pursuing a career in arts did not entail a financial trade-off, making the pursuit of a literary life all the more appealing. Yu's relentless dedication to his craft eventually bore fruit in 1983, when he saw his work published in Beijing Literature magazine, marking the inception of his professional writing career. The themes of Yu's early writings were tinted with the somber hues of the violence he had been a witness to, a reflection of his experiences and the brutality of the Cultural Revolution. The visceral imagery of executions and the brutal reality of death left an indelible mark on his psyche, shaping the narratives of his initial literary outputs. However, the constant engagement with such grim themes began to torment Yu, haunting him with nightmares and pushing him to the brink of a breakdown. Yu's realization that delving too deeply into the abyss of violence was affecting his well-being led him to a crossroads, prompting a re-evaluation of his thematic focus. It was a moment of introspection for Yu, recognizing the power of the pen not only to mirror society, but also to stir the depths of the writer's soul. In navigating the balance between reflection and self-preservation, Yu's journey through writing during the Cultural Revolution emerged as a testament to the transformative and healing power of storytelling, an ode to the resilience of the human spirit in the face of adversity. Part 5. Revisiting Lu Xun, a journey from rejection to reverence. Imagine growing up in an era where the literary landscape was overwhelmingly dominated by just two figures, Mao Zedong, the poet and revolutionary leader, and Lu Xun, a writer whose contributions to literature continued to echo long after his death in 1936. This was the reality for Chinese youth during the Cultural Revolution, including Yu Hua, who found himself navigating a world where literary choices were not just limited but deeply entwined with political fervor. Lu Xun's importance in this period can largely be attributed to Mao Zedong's admiration for him. Lu, known for his sharp critiques of contemporary society, became an invaluable asset to the Communist Party's efforts to dismantle outdated institutions and customs. His critical voice against the societal flaws of his time resonated with the revolution's ethos, earning him an esteemed status second only to Mao. In school, Yuhua learned that invoking Lu Xun's name could decisively end any argument. Such was the unwavering respect for Lu among his peers. Ironically, despite wielding his quotes like a sword in debates, Yu felt a disconnect with Lu's writings, which were compulsory reading. This enforced engagement bred not fascination, but aversion, placing Lu Xun on Yu's list of least appreciated authors. As the tides of the Cultural Revolution receded, the public's perception of Lu Xun underwent a dramatic transformation. With the newfound liberty to critique previously revered figures, a narrative emerged that perhaps Lu Xun's literary prowess was overestimated. This sentiment echoed through the years, with Yu nursing a dismissive view towards Lu's works, until a significant turning point in 1996 challenged his long-standing perspective. Tasked with consulting on a film adaptation of Lu Xun's stories, Yu revisited the works he once spurned. Approaching them with a fresh pair of eyes and a more mature understanding, he found himself captivated by the depth and intricacy of Lu's style. This re-exploration led Yu to a profound appreciation for Lu Xun, a stark departure from his initial disdain. He emerged from this literary reacquaintance with a renewed recognition of Lu's deserved acclaim, but also with the insight that truly appreciating Lu Xun's genius requires a nuanced and seasoned perspective. Yu's journey from the enforced rigidity of reading Lu Xun during the Cultural Revolution to discovering the genuine brilliance in his works illustrates a broader narrative of cultural renaissance. It's a testament to the evolving nature of artistic appreciation and how perspectives can transform over time, leading to a deeper, more substantial understanding of literary legacies. This evolution from rejection to reverence for Lu Xun reveals not only the complexities of individual growth, but also the dynamic interplay between cultural forces and personal development. Part 6. The Echoes of Revolution in Modern China's Leap Forward. The intertwining of economic progression with political democracy is a subject of keen interest in the West. Against this backdrop, China emerges as a striking outlier, a nation whose meteoric rise defies the conventional wisdom linking prosperity directly to democratic principles. Rather, China's ascent can be discerned through the prism of Geming, revolution, a concept that has persistently molded its journey from the mid-20th century to the contemporary era. Embedded within the ethos of revolution is a penchant for audacity, a readiness to embrace risk, stretch truths, and navigate the ensuing tumult. This was vividly illustrated during the Great Leap Forward, an ambitious endeavor initiated in 1958, aiming to catapult the nation into industrial modernity while embracing agricultural collectivism. The chasm between aspirations and reality soon became apparent as officials reported vastly inflated agricultural yields, setting the stage for one of the gravest tragedies in modern history. A famine, stark in its severity, ravaged the land, with Sichuan province alone witnessing the demise of over 8 million lives, a chilling testament to the perils of exaggerated ambition. Fast forward to today, and the shadows of bold yet sometimes baseless assertions loom large. China dazzles with the construction of vast yet underutilized infrastructural marvels, ports and highways built in anticipation of a demand that remains conspicuously absent. Even the genuine triumphs, such as the exponential growth in university enrollments from 1998 to 2006, reveal underlying fissures. A surging pool of graduates faces the grim reality of unemployment while institutions grapple with financial dire straits. Moreover, the specters of the Cultural Revolution continue to haunt the administrative corridors of modern China. The fervent battles once fought over official seals, an emblem of unquestioned authority and control, find their echoes in the present day. Infighting among bureaucrats often mirrors the ferocity of past confrontations, as seen in a 2008 incident where a party secretary usurped power by orchestrating an attack to seize the governmental seal from the chairman of the board. This tapestry of risk-taking, exaggeration, and internal strife underpins the narrative of China's recent journey, painting a complex picture of growth built atop the unstable grounds of revolutionary fervor. While China's economic strides are undeniably remarkable, they spring from a foundation rife with the instability that is emblematic of a political culture deeply ingrained with the principles of Gaming. Through this lens, we witness the continuation of a storied legacy of revolution, reshaping the contours of a nation poised between monumental achievements and the inherent uncertainties of its defining ethos. Part 7, Unveiling the Chasm, the Tale of Inequality in China. In the heart of Southwest China, amidst the fervor of the 2006 World Cup, a film crew's journey to a remote village to celebrate the beloved global event led to an unintended yet profound revelation. Tasked with organizing a soccer match for the local children, who were strangers to the game, the crew inadvertently illustrated a stark metaphor of China's vast socio-economic divide, Chaju. The moment the ball veered into cow dung and was meticulously cleaned, only to be imitated by the children as a perceived part of the game, spoke volumes of the unconscious adaptation to prevailing disparities. As China edged closer to becoming the world's second largest economy by 2010, the dazzling numbers belied a sobering truth when dissected on a per capita income basis, landing the nation a stark 100th place globally. This discrepancy is primarily fueled by the gaping chasm between rural and urban incomes, marked by a disparity ratio of 3:1. Such staggering inequality propels people toward various means of survival, often flirting with the boundaries of legality. This phenomenon isn't entirely new. Echoes of desperation were present even during Yu's formative years in the Cultural Revolution. He recalls how the exchange of excess food coupons, deemed counter-revolutionary by the state, served as a crucial income source for many. Yet, the level of desperation today far exceeds what was once witnessed. Instances of individuals resisting official clampdown on unpermitted vending with violence underscore the heightened stakes in contemporary China. What underpins this seismic shift in the fabric of Chinese society? Under Mao's reign, strides toward leveling the socio-economic playing field were painstakingly slow, yet the disparity remained relatively narrow. Fast forward to today, and the chasm has widened dramatically, leaving many to feel they are on the losing end with nothing left to lose. This evolving narrative of inequality, from the Cultural Revolution to the present, paints a picture of a society grappling with its contradictions, caught between phenomenal economic growth and the profound chasm of Chaju that threatens to undermine the collective dream of prosperity. Part 8, From Humble Beginnings to Tycoon Tumbles, the Kaogen Phenomenon. The term grassroots, or Kaogen, has evolved significantly in China, morphing from its literal botanical reference to signify the common folk striving at society's base. It now encapsulates a narrative of aspiration, wherein modest peasants transform into social climbers, navigating the rungs of prosperity through remarkable ingenuity or sheer determination. The blood chiefs and garbage kings epitomize the Kaogen phenomenon, individuals who turned meager beginnings into sprawling empires by trading in blood or capitalizing on the refuse of urban sprawl. This entrepreneurial spirit has birthed a new cadre of wealth, marked by the risings of button kings and sock kings, whose origins lie in the most unassuming of ventures. Yet, as the saying goes, the brighter the light, the darker the shadow. From 2000 to 2010, the meteoric rise of these self-made magnates often preceded equally dramatic downfalls, underscoring the precariousness of wealth amassed under questionable circumstances. Corruption, financial misadventures, and the insidious allure of quick gains have seen many a tycoon plummet from dizzying heights. This narrative of rise and fall resonates deeply with the ideological undercurrents of the Cultural Revolution. Consider the story of Wang Hongwen, whose journey from a security guard to a top leader in the Communist Party mirrors the volatile nature of political fortune. Like many before and after him, Wang's story is a testament to the Chinese political idiom likening politics to flipping pancakes. Today's revolutionary hero can be tomorrow's counter-revolutionary villain. Indeed, the post-revolution years bore witness to numerous stories of individuals catapulting to influence, only to be ensnared by the changing tides of power leading to imprisonment or worse. Such is the duality of the Kojin narrative, a double-edged sword where the taste of power, be it political or economic, is ephemeral. The post-cultural revolution years, much like the contemporary era of economic liberalization, demonstrate a shifting balance of power towards the grassroots. Once, it was political clout that oscillated wildly. Now, it is economic might that follows the unpredictable currents of fortune. In both epochs, the ascent from obscurity to prominence embodies the aspirations and volatility inherent in the pursuit of power. Yet, the tales of those who have ascended the social ladder, only to tumble down, serve as a poignant reminder of the transient nature of success in a landscape where fortunes can change as swiftly as the wind. Part 9. Shanzai. From Cultural Revolution to Copycat Culture. As Yuhua navigated his early days as a makeshift dentist under the tutelage of a seasoned street practitioner, he found himself embodying a term that perfectly captured his experience, Shanzai, or copycat. This word, though coined in a contemporary setting, encapsulates a phenomenon that is far from new in Chinese society. Initially, Shanzai reflected the world of counterfeit goods, emerging prominently as knockoff versions of Samsung and Nokia phones began infiltrating the market. This concept quickly evolved, blurring the line between imitation and innovation, often celebrated for providing affordable alternatives to mainstream products. This acceptance and proliferation of Shanzai goods, paradoxically seen as both a boon and a benign nuisance, reveals a deep-seated cultural attitude towards imitation and adaptation. When Yu stumbled upon a pirated edition of his own work, the encounter underscored the normalization of Shanzai within China's consumer culture. Similarly, a journalist's nonchalant admission of fabricating an interview with Yu underscored how deeply ingrained the concept of being a copycat had become in modern Chinese society. However, the roots of Shanzai stretch far beyond its current connotation of imitation goods. To fully grasp its cultural acceptance, one must journey back to the tempestuous era of the Cultural Revolution. Mao Zedong's rallying cry in 1966, "To rebel is justified," ignited a fervor for radical transformation within Chinese society, advocating for a redistribution of power. This zeitgeist encouraged the masses to question authority and established hierarchies, leading to the rise of makeshift copycat leaderships that, with enough support, could command genuine authority. The Cultural Revolution thus heralded the original mass movement of Shanzai, albeit in a different guise, championing the idea that challenging the status quo and remixing established orders could be legitimate ways to reshape society. While the revolutionary fervor has subsided, the spirit of Shanzai continues to thrive, now directing its insurgent energy towards economic rather than political realms. Today's Shanzai movement, with its legions of entrepreneurs and innovators, marks a new revolution aiming to disrupt and democratize the market. By leveraging the cost advantages of not investing in research and development, these modern-day rebels challenge the dominance of state-owned enterprises, asserting that the essence of Shanzai, ingenuity born of necessity, can be a force for societal transformation. In sum, Shanzai stands as a testament to China's enduring spirit of rebellion and innovation. Tracing a lineage from the fervent upheavals of the Cultural Revolution to the dynamic, albeit controversial, market practices of today, it is a reflection of a society that, in both past and present, values the transformative potential of the copycat. Part 10. The Art of Bamboozle. making deception a delicate dance in modern China. In contemporary China, navigating the waters of daily interaction sometimes requires a keen sense of balance, much like maintaining one's footing on a fishing boat rocked by waves. This concept of balance ties closely to the Chinese term huyu, which once described such unsteady motions but has since evolved into a verb encapsulating the cunning art of bamboozlement. Huyu's transformation into the practice of artful deception mirrors a cultural shift towards accepting and even celebrating the cunning sleight of hand in social and business dealings. This fascinating linguistic journey began in the early 2000s when the term was popularized through comedy, illustrating the absurdity of convincing someone to buy something utterly unnecessary, like selling crutches to the able-bodied. Huyu quickly permeated the social lexicon, becoming synonymous with a wide array of deceptive practices, from innocent pranks to more nefarious schemes of exaggeration and fraud. Contrary to the sterner Western attitude towards deceit, huyu carries a lighter, almost commendable hue in China. It's not just about lying, it's about doing it with such finesse and charm that the act itself becomes amusing, an elaborate dance between the bamboozler and their unwitting partner. Yuhua's personal anecdotes lend color to the complexity of Huyu's place in Chinese society. The tale of his father convincing his mother to move under false pretenses, a move she later recollects with a tinge of humor rather than betrayal, exemplifies the nuanced acceptance of being led astray. Moreover, the story of an entrepreneur who, facing financial desperation, secured funding through a blend of bluff and brinkmanship, underscores Huyu's potential for both creativity and controversy. However, the line between harmless trickery and harmful deceit isn't always clear. Yu's own childhood mischief of feigning illness to avoid chores, a ruse that led to an unnecessary surgery, serves as a cautionary tale. This incident highlights the unpredictable outcomes of Huyu, where the bamboozler can just as easily become the bamboozled. In essence, Huyu's ascent as a cultural phenomenon in China reflects a broader appreciation for strategic imagination and a certain audaciousness in pursuit of one's goals. It situates deception within a context where the quality of the ruse is as significant as its outcome, transforming bamboozle from a mere verb into a nuanced reflection of contemporary societal values and norms. Yet it also serves as a reminder of the potential pitfalls that accompany this delicate dance of deception, where the distinction between cleverness and consequence can blur with just a misstep. Final summary. The journey of China from the tumultuous waves of the Cultural Revolution to its current status as an economic powerhouse represents a profound metamorphosis. Yet beneath the surface of this dramatic evolution, echoes from the past resonate within the fabric of modern Chinese society, subtly bridging yesterday and today. The key to unlocking these connections lies in the rich tapestry of the Chinese language, where historical concepts and contemporary terms intertwine, offering a unique lens through which to explore the nation's continuing saga. Language, in its essence, is a living archive that traces the contours of cultural and societal change. Words and phrases, old and new, serve as markers of the times, capturing the shifts in values, practices, and worldviews that define different eras, from enduring concepts like reading and the people, to newer idioms such as bamboozling and copycat. Each term encapsulates a piece of China's complex narrative, providing insights into how the remnants of the past inform the present and hint at the future. The evolution from the ideological fervor of the Cultural Revolution to the pragmatic focus on economic development under collective leadership reflects a significant transformation in governance and societal priorities. Yet, beneath the diverse mechanisms of power and the shifting economic landscapes, similar undercurrents persist. The spirit of revolution, the quest for social mobility, the nuances of deception, and the ingenuity in adaptation, themes that once reverberated through political upheavals, now find their expressions in economic ambitions and the dynamics of modern life. By delving into the lexicon that captures these themes, we uncover a vivid mosaic of Chinese life, where the echoes of collective memories mingle with the aspirations of the individual. This exploration reveals how language not only narrates the story of a nation's journey, but also shapes the collective consciousness, influencing perceptions, behaviors, and the unfolding of history itself. As we decode the linguistic clues embedded within the contemporary Chinese lexicon, we gain a deeper appreciation for the intricate dance between continuity and change. This journey through words and meanings invites us to reflect on the enduring connections between China's revolutionary past and its present-day quest for progress, highlighting the indelible imprint of history on the nation's path forward. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.